Hello! Welcome to Pinecones and Moonstones, where science, witchcraft, and history combine. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Desiree.
And this is our very belated Listener Ghost Stories episode.
At least it's before Halloween.
It is. Just everything decided that it needed to be due this month, slash also everything in your life had to happen this month. It's been ridiculous.
Yep. It's that Scorpio season that's... I'm not thrilled about that energy. It's been intense. Like,
I'm just ready for everything to be done and for it to be December so I get a month of sleep.
Oh, yeah,
and, I go to Boston and hopefully Salem.
Oh, fun. Where are you going? Are you going there for school?
Yeah, I have to present at a conference.
Lucky.
I'm presenting at SAJ. It's me and Rachel and Kristen.
You talk about these people like I know.
Kristen is in the group.
Yes, I would know that person.
Yeah. Rachel is my friend here that I did the poster session with last spring. This is the fall. Yeah. Last spring. So it's going to be like more of the brothels stuff, but we're also adding Kristen has a master's in English lit. So we're adding like how the Victorian ideals got, like, reproduced in the literature, and that's kind of what we reproduced instead of how it actually was, kind of a thing.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
Because the whole theme for SHA, because it's in Boston, is revolutions. So our session is called Gender Revolutions, and it's like, how can we change how archaeologists talk about gender? So our big one is like, please stop assuming all sex workers were women.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's fun.
That's our big one that we want everyone to swallow and also to call them sex workers.
Yeah.
Because people today may self-identify as a prostitute, and that's fine. But when we're talking about a large group of people in the past that we cannot talk to, we need to be correct and as gender neutral as possible.
Well, if you're out here in Seattle, you'd call them seamstresses.
Hmm.
None of them were ever sex workers. They were seamstresses.
I could see that. They had to do that in Europe for a while, where they all had, like, different jobs that weren't, like, really jobs. It was, like, jobs in air quotes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was part of the, when they first started doing the, the census. So in Seattle, and then Seattle burned down, and instead of, like, tearing down all that stuff, they built on top of it. So then there was an underground and an above ground Seattle. And so all the underground stuff is where all the seamstresses worked. And it had, I think at one point, was quoted as the highest population of seamstresses in the United States.
Oh, wow.
It was good for sailors. It was good. Anyway, it was a fun tour. I went on that ghost tour with Layla for her birthday. And it was a neat little thing. And Marley went with us and was just so jazzed, would not stop talking this poor, like, tour guide's ear off the whole time. She was so excited, and she's like, I want to go for my birthday, and I'm like, that's in December. Why are you going on a ghost tour in December?
You're gonna be cold.
She didn't care. It's ghosts. It's ghostly feeling. So anyway, we have listener ghost stories, so
yeah,
a handful of them.
Our own, kind of.
Mine are all sad. Something needs to come haunt me for just a day. I only want a one.
Oh, mine is not a happy ghost story. It's real depressing. Like, it gets dark as fuck. So
sweet.
My dad's childhood is not super happy rosy times.
Well, maybe we should mix yours in the middle with some happier ones. I have all the light hauntings. I don't have anything super bad, so.
Okay.
You want to go first?
With his or with the Facebook one?
Why don't you do the Facebook one?
Okay. So this is from one of our Patreon supporters in the Patreon group, Amanda. She went to college at Flagler in St. Augustine. And she says, definitely spent many a night dressed up following ghost tours for fun. I was never able to find anyone to pay for that. The tour guides had to pass an insane written spoken test to work as a tour guide in the city, and the friends and I would venture around and, the usual, like, haunts where the tours went, but they wouldn't go near the graveyards out of respect. But their room and several other rooms on their floor were haunted, and so all of their, like, dorm mates had tons of ghostly experiences, which sounds like a terrifying way to go to college, I think.
Sounds like the best way to go to college.
I went to a haunted college, but thankfully it wasn't any of the dorms. It was just the building I spent half my time in.
Slightly haunted? Lightly haunted?
Well, no, that one was really haunted. I mean, it's...
You guys Colonial are so Williamsburg, lucky! Though.
Like, it's about as close as you're gonna get to Hogwarts in the U.S. besides Swanee, where they teach in, like, robes.
Oh, I missed out on so much in my life.
It's the Southeast! We're weird!
I never went to a haunted college, or a haunted school, or nothing.
I'm two for two. I mean, I would believe that UNR is haunted. I just haven't heard any ghost stories about the campus, specifically. So I might be three for three, but I'm definitely two for two, because the University of Alabama is all kinds of fucked up.
Anyway, I'll have to find my own haunted buildings.
Yeah. I mean, I was in Virginia City last week? Two weeks ago.
And then we need to make a timeline for you. You are struggling hard with that.
I had to write 7 papers that week, so it was not a lot of remembering anything else. But yeah, I went to Virginia City, and then we went to the Stewart Indian School. So I've been to a lot of haunted places, but I didn't see any ghosts there.
Yeah, we were down in haunted, the underground. This was like, this person died here, and all these people burned here, and should have been haunted, but I was like, kind of smells like pee. Like, I guess all the best haunted pee places do, especially in Seattle. Everything smells like pee.
We were in a school building in Virginia City, and it's a specific architecture type, but it's like the one you see in, like, Little House on the Prairie. Kind of settings, you know, like the wood, like with the big tower and everything. And it's the only one that's still standing because they all burned down. So it's the only one that's still standing in the U.S. and its tower has burned and collapsed a few times. So it's not the original tower, but the building's on the National Register. So we were in a school there and I got to see the oldest Tabasco sauce bottle that we know of in existence. From the Tabasco company. What's weird about this is they found it in a saloon that was owned by and particularly serviced African Americans in Virginia City in like the 1870s. And they have the hot sauce. That's the only place that they have found like hot sauce and pepper sauces in Virginia City from that time. It's like, oh, okay.
What a neat thing to have.
Yeah. But the ironic thing is my advisor from Alabama did all the archaeology for Avery Island. If you're really into Tabasco sauce, you will know that the Avery and the Brown families from Avery Island own the Tabasco sauce company. And so he knows, like, the families and everything, because he did all of the excavations for, like, their property and stuff, because it's all a Mississippian site, essentially. So I keep getting, like, surrounded by the weird Tabasco sauce connections for no reason, because I don't actually research anything to do with peppers.
I'm not a pepper connoisseur, so I feel like I've missed out on a chunk of history there.
Alright, so, do you have one, or do you want me to tell my dad's real sad one?
Well, let's work our way into the sad. I have a good sad segue that's not as sad, so I'll do this one. This one is from our friend and listener, Micah, and he was talking to me about a Samhain meditation that he did recently that he was looking to do some ancestor work and that kind of thing. And he says... I had not started working at my grandparents as a home care provider yet, and in his meditation, he met a guy with horn-rimmed glasses, but could only see his outline and silhouette. He had kind words, imparted strength and love, and he came out of the meditation confused because, though he felt familiar, Micah didn't know who he was. He says, 3 days later, I had a dream. I was back in California, and I run into the guy wearing the same glasses and a glass eye. He gives me the same message and then a hug, and when he's leaving, he says, you're going to need that extra love and strength soon. I asked my mom if we had any relatives with the glass eye, and she says, your great uncle Paul, but he passed away when you were about 2. That Thanksgiving, I get a call from my mom to come and work as a care provider for my grandparents. A few months go, and my grandma is doing pretty good and tracking well, and that day, despite the dementia, and she asks, did you ever meet my mom? And he says, yes, Grandma, I knew her well. She proceeds to ask about her sister, younger brother, and then asks, did you ever meet my brother Paul? I said no, and she says, he sometimes watches over your grandpa and I when we sleep. And several other caretakers witnessed a figure roaming around their bedroom also, which I thought was interesting. Those are the more common sort of stories I've heard, like specifically with my mom talking about having dreams of family members about things that she couldn't know about them, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like them coming to you in your dreams. Actually, I hear that from my husband's mother also. I should have asked her. She's got ghost stories out the hoo-ha with all the times her mom comes to see her and all that stuff. So I feel a little... Oh, I missed my point. I should have asked her.
Okay. So do you want mine or...
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's get dark. This is one ghost story I heard growing up all the time, and it's about a little bald man. But the way they say it is really funny because of the way a kid said it to them. So they say the little bald-headed man instead of a little bald man.
Mm-hmm.
But my parents, well, my dad and his parents and his sisters all moved around a ton because his dad worked for a shoe company, like a national shoe store brand, kind of like, I guess, Famous Footwear, something like that. And so they would send him as like a traveling manager to fix stores that weren't doing well. And when it started doing well, they just move him to the next one. So they ended up going from like California to Virginia, like just over the years. The first house they lived in Virginia was haunted as fuck. And so one night my dad woke up because he kept hearing somebody tap on his window. And he looked up, and it looked like there was, like, a little bald person, like, looking in. And he got really freaked out, and he ran in and woke up his parents, like, there's somebody outside looking in the window. So my grandpa runs around the house, and it's in, like, December, so it's cold because it's the mountains. Runs outside in the snow with no shoes on and goes to look for somebody who's supposedly looking in the window, right? And there's nobody there. So they all go back to bed, and my grandpa's kind of pissed off. And my dad's three sisters were sharing the room next to his, and somebody tapped on their window, and they woke up, and they see this little bald-headed person, like, looking in the window. And so now my grandpa's super pissed, because also there might be an adult looking at his daughter's room, you know? So he runs outside again, and there's nothing there, and this happens, like, every night for 3 weeks. Like, they're all terrified to go to sleep because all the kids think somebody's, like, trying to look in the window. My grandparents are not getting any sleep because their kids keep waking them up because they were, like, I think they were, like, my dad was, like, 9 or 10, so the youngest one had to be, like, 5 at the oldest. So they're all little tiny kids.
Yeah.
Seeing all this weird shit. One day, they're all outside, like, sitting on the porch, and this family comes up, and they were the people who owned the house before them, like, who was renting it from the person my grandparents bought it from. It's a significantly older parents, and then an adult kid who has a, like, a disorder, like, a learning disorder. And the kid keeps, like, motioning to my dad to, like, come talk to him while the adults are talking. And so my dad walks over there and he's like, have you seen my little bald-headed man? I've lost him. And my dad is like, what? Like, because essentially they think it's a real person and now they're like, what are you talking about? And so my dad's like, there's been somebody who, like, looks in our windows. And the kid's like, oh, no, he would never do that. He wouldn't be mean. Something similar to that. And then the kid's dad gets really mad at him for talking about it. I guess because he doesn't want him to seem, like...
crazy.
Yeah, like, also crazy and disabled. Mm-hmm. And so the, like, my grandpa kind of yells at my dad for talking about it, too. And they leave, and the next night, their doors start banging.
Mm.
Like, the back door and the front door to the house, like, starts banging. And that happens for, like, a week. And so they call the old owners and ask them, like, did any of this ever happen? And the wife is like, well, our son used to talk about having an imaginary friend who he called his bald-headed man. And, like, we never had any problems, but he used to just, like, talk to him. And he would be, like, standing in a corner talking to nothing.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
And, my grandpa gets really worried, and so he called the owner instead of the renters, like, the owner he bought it from, and asked them about it, and apparently, the farmhouse that they bought used to be part of a plantation, and the original owner was, like, super horrible to his slaves.
Surprise.
I'm right. but, like, supposedly had kind of, like, a Madame Lalaurie, like, torture basement kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, the pictures they had of him were, they showed him to the renter's son.
Uh-huh.
And he said that was his friend.
So
my dad is like, yeah, so apparently we had a racist bald ghost. And I'm like, wow, all right.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yep. Virginia. Oh,
you should look up, I would look up the family. I don't know, that would just be something, if I knew about that would make me want to know everything. Well, I've never been to
a house, like, they didn't live there anymore. When he went to high school, like, it wasn't in our hometown.
No, I mean, like, did you know the name of the family, though, that you could
know? No, he didn't know.
Hmm.
He's, like, 10.
It sounds like a mystery we should solve.
I know, right?
We should. That'd be fun.
Oh.
That was spooky.
Yeah, and depressing.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Okay, I actually have... I have two more. I have one from, I think this one was from the Facebook page, and then I have one that was texted to me at my insistence because Emily listens to the show, and she's my sister-in-law, which makes her twice as cool. She sent me some good ones because she lived in Minnesota, which also is apparently haunted as fuck. So,
yeah.
But I'm going to read one from Facebook from Amelia. Let me make sure, get to the top where stories start at the beginning. she says, my big ghost story takes place when I was 4. I lived in the second story. It was split. Oh, God, sorry. I'm butchering this already. You guys, sorry. Okay, try this again. It was split, so when you went up, there was a door on the left and a door on the right, and that was all. I was on the left. In my room, there was a closet and another smaller door that led to the attic, which was creepy already. I'm adding this. She didn't say this, but that is fucking creepy. No, I messed myself up again.
Oh, no.
It was locked. What? Oh, no?
You said you messed yourself up.
Oh, I thought that was like a something else. Like, we forgot to hit the record button again.
Oh, no, no, it's fine.
Anyway. Cassie, you're gonna have to cut all this out.
Or I'll just leave it in.
All right. There was another smaller door that led to the attic. It was locked. It was an odd shape because the room was steepled, and the attic door had a triangular slant, so one side was taller than the other. I remember this because the slant was off-putting, and I didn't like it. Almost every night when I was trying to fall asleep, I would start to feel a deep sensation of dread. I'd lie there stiff as a board and listen, because when you're scared, you listen. You listen for creaks and cracks and the sounds of something about to pounce. I'd hear knocking. It always came from the same place, the attic door. It would start quiet, almost like it wasn't there, and then it would get louder and angrier. Eventually, when the knocking wasn't working, I'd hear the voice. It was hard and angry and would tell me that it was going to kill me if I didn't let it out. It'd kill me and my brother and my parents. It'd skin us alive and watch us writhe, which, number one, is terrifying that a ghost would use a big word like that when you're little. Like, that's fucking scary. Anyway, open the goddamn door. Yeah. Just a reminder, I was 4. I'm going to pause here to say I cannot even imagine being 4 and hearing that and not losing my shit constantly.
Yeah, that would not be good. No, that would not be good.
Yikes. Okay, back to the story. I'd feel a huge weight on my chest as all of this was happening, and I'd feel somehow whatever was in the attic was also holding me down. This was an almost nightly occurrence. Eventually, I'd scream and suddenly be able to move, and I'd run downstairs to my parents, or I'd run across the hall to my little brother's room and sleep with him. Around the 6 to 8 month mark, my dad had enough and made me watch as he opened the door. I bawled the whole time. I begged and pleaded for him to leave it shut because, honestly, I believed there was something in there that wanted to kill us. He found a few boxes and bags. Nothing peculiar, no man, no demons, no ghosts. Nothing killed us that night, though I was still scared. Not long after, I moved into my brother's room and my dad's friend moved into the attic room with his son, and they never had any issues. I was diagnosed with swollen tonsils and adenoids and had them removed because during all of this, my parents had come to realize I was less likely to freak out at night with about 10 pillows propping me up. The theory is I would stop breathing before I hit deep sleep and would wake up in a panic and still be in a semi-conscious state where I'd have waking dreams of an entity behind the attic door that was trying to kill me. I still have night terrors sometimes, but that was the last time I called them ghosts. Which, so spooky. That's awesome. I mean, not awesome, but, like, awesome for me, because it wasn't me, and I get to hear about it. That's, like, right up my alley.
Oh.
So thank you, Amelia.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have another one, or do I get to read the last one?
I don't think I have any other ones. Unless I don't think Mark wants to talk about his ghost story. So
I asked my husband because he's told me some and he didn't want to talk about it either.
Well, I know his ghost story, but it's another plantation. We'll just leave it there. He went to a plantation in South Alabama.
Oh, that sounds sad.
Actually, more like American Horror Story levels of not okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you,
huh?
Sounds like we're going to miss out then.
I'll try and get him to do it for the next one. We'll see.
So I have a short one. One of the buildings I used to manage out here is I'm going to leave it nameless because I don't want to get sued, but it's a large company. I can't even say what it does. And we serviced the multiple buildings on the campus. And one of the buildings, the crew, and this was night and day crew separately, would tell me and other managers that the bathrooms were haunted. But not haunted in, it still freaked people out, but it was actually the most helpful ghost I've ever heard of because it used to stock their toilet paper dispensers for them. So, like, wow. At night, the crew would put the cart in the door to keep people from coming in because there's still some people working 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So they'd block off the bathroom door, carts in the way. They'd open all the dispensers so that they could go back to the cart, get the number of toilet papers they need, come back, fill them. And when they'd come back, the dispensers would be closed and shut and full of toilet paper.
Hmm.
And I was like, why the fuck does this never happen when it's me cleaning these bathrooms? Why is it only you guys? But that was it. And there would be like, stuff would be moved around and they'd basically just stock the toilet paper and bags and stuff for them.
Hmm.
Which is a sad way to spend eternity.
Yeah, it almost sounds like one of those, like, doesn't realize they're dead / in a loop.
Yeah, probably.
Like, maybe it's a dead janitor.
He's like, I thought I just stocked these toilet papers. Why is it empty? Oh, yeah, that's sad. You made it sad. It was happy for a minute.
Oh, ruining people's fun all the time. That's just me.
Okay, so I have one from listener and sister-in-law Emily. Actually, this might be two. one short, one long. Anyway. Burr, burr, burr. She says, so the house I grew up in northern Minnesota is this really old farmhouse on a ton of land where we raise cattle. When we moved into the house, I got what was the master bedroom downstairs, and my parents renovated the upstairs, which had previously been blocked off from the rest of the house to conserve heat. They had to have two bedrooms, one for them and one for my sister. So the room that I lived in was definitely haunted. I would wake up to the drawers in my desk being opened and emptied, and everything all over the floor, or to my closet being in shambles, and it pissed my mom off because she thought I was just being messy, but it pissed me off too. And then one night, I woke up to what felt like something crawling on the bed, which was super weird because we had dogs, and occasionally they would, or sorry, wasn't super weird, that makes much more sense, because we had dogs and occasionally they would be able to get into the rooms and want to sleep on the bed. So I rolled over to see which dog it was, but there was no dog. At this point, I am wide awake and coherent. Although there is nothing there that you can see, my left ankle is suddenly grabbed and I freak the fuck out, as anyone should do when an invisible entity grabs your ankle. I sit up and grab the corner of my blanket and throw it as hard as I can off the bed and against the wall. When I do that, there's a loud thud, enough to wake everyone else in the house. My mom comes down the hall and I tell her what happened and she is visibly freaked out. I sleep on the couch for the rest of the week and then traded rooms with them. It turned out that the old lady who lived in the house before us died in that room. Yeah. And then she just ends that part there, and then she's got a little second one. Like, there's no follow-up to that. She just fucking went back to bed in that room after a week and was like, cool, okay, we're good now, right? So I'm going to have some follow-up questions for her later. But she says, there was also a little girl who fell out of the second story window of that house. And at 3 a.m, every morning, you can hear her run down the hall and through the wall where the window used to be. It's now a sliding glass door in what was my bedroom after I switched with my parents. Oh no, she switched bedrooms. That's why she didn't have it anymore.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
I used to have to sleep with the TV on or else the running would wake me up.
Mm.
That would sound, you know, the phantom footsteps, like, I've heard those everywhere. Like, I hear them in this house, but I think it's also because we're a townhouse and someone's got heavy feet next door. But, like, yeah. Buildings that I'm cleaning, you'll always hear creaking up the steps. And I almost wonder if that's just, like, one of those energy things where that's a constant, you know what I mean? You have to put out so much energy to walk up the stairs. It's a constant noise, constant movement.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like something that would be an easy place to overlook sort of an energy buildup.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard, like, weird footsteps in lots of buildings, and most mm-hmm. of them were really fucking old mm-hmm. and probably haunted. I haven't really heard any that don't make logical sense in newer buildings, because it's like, they're all apartments, or, like, it's a dorm room, so there are probably people upstairs somewhere, you know?
It's the easiest thing to write off as somebody else.
Well, the worst is when you hear them above you and there is no upstairs. Like, when you're at the top and you hear footsteps.
Yeah. When we lived in this house in Everett, it was this shitty little, oh, God, it was disgusting. But we were so poor. We lived in this tiny little yellow house, and it had an unfinished basement that used to flood quite a bit. And it was gross. And then the attic, which we didn't really like to go in there, had this creepy, tiny, happy-painted door. So, like, the attic was painted yellow inside, like, bright yellow. And it had, like, mm-hmm. a purple clown door. And we don't know what it led to back there. It was just a door in the attic to somewhere else in the house. And the guy who owned it was like, oh, it's just some wires and stuff. And then whatever it led to was directly above our bedroom. And when I was pregnant at night, I can't sleep because I'm full of child. And I'm listening. unfortunately, because we lived in Everett and we had an unfinished basement, we had rats. And we couldn't get the landlord to help us very much with them. So we had all the traps set out, but at night I could hear them in the walls chewing. Like, you know the noise I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You ever had to listen to rats chewing by your head for hours?
I used to have pet rats.
Oh, like, no, not the same. I won't have pet rats anymore because of that.
Well, their cage was, like, next to my thing. I also had a gerbil, and the gerbil chewed more than the rats, and it liked to chew its little plastic, you know, those little tubey things that it, like, you put in their little cages or whatever. It used to, like, chew on the plastic, so it would just sound
that
like...
That noise. I hate that.
Like, well, all night.
Less ghost story and more just fucking you want to drive someone crazy. It's like torture. Laying awake at night, knowing I can't get up to whatever is behind that clown door, and knowing that something bigger than a rat got in there, because I could hear him thumping around, and then he'd do something and make the rats run around, and then they'd be in the walls chewing, and then I could hear him above me thumping around and chewing, and I could never see what it was.
And probably just, a possum.
Probably a raccoon.
Oh, those are worse.
We get big raccoons out here, and it was, we were actually right next to a convenience store, so the dumpster was probably a pretty good place to get dinner, and then he'd go to Hotel Horton, hang out in our attic. But my point was, sometimes when I can't sleep at night and I'm laying in bed, I think that I hear that noise, that chewing noise, and I have to get up. Like, even though I know we don't have rats or mice or anything in this place because there's no holes and it's clean and... Like, I will get up freaking out because I hear it and I cannot go back to sleep. So I'm haunted. It's me. Ghost Ooh. Rats. Of all the rats I've killed.
Ghost rats?
It's, man, I still have nightmares about that place with the rats. And I didn't mind rats before. Like, when I was young and we lived in Alaska, we had little baby shrews that would sneak in and eat our hot chocolate and stuff. So little mice, whatever. But these rats in Everett were like... small cats, and they're big, and they're ugly, and they're not scared of you, and then they'd be in our couch, and when I realized that they were in the couch while I was sitting on it, like, I didn't want to sit down, I didn't want to touch anything, they know how to take stuff off of traps, and now this has turned into things that freak me out and not ghost stories. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's all the ghost stories I have, I think.
Yeah, I think...
I could tell you the traditional ghost stories of places I have lived, but they're not necessarily mine.
Traditional?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
The ghosts at William & Mary on the quad, the colonial ghosts, because the way the quad works, it's called the Sunken Garden, because when you need to pay a bunch of people in the CCC during the Great Depression, you just give 500 dudes a shovel, and you'd say, go dig. And so, where the ground was... during the colonial period is about 6 feet higher than where it is now. So you see the ghost just, like, walking around in the air.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Then there's the ghost of James Blair, supposedly in Blair Hall, and he just walks around at night. And the building I was in all the time, Tucker got a renovation... but supposedly a student in the 80s or 90s had, like, it has a open building plan, essentially. So, like, you walk in, you go up the stairs to the second floor, and the second floor is just open. Mm-hmm. And you can see all the way up, because there's, like, a sunroof thing. And you can see the third floor and the fourth floor, and they all have railings. Supposedly she jumped off the top and, like, hung herself in the middle.
Oh.
And so people hear her. They did, one of the newspapers on campus did, like, a ghost tour at night when Tucker Hall reopened. And they did hear some weird footsteps, and they got some EVPs that sound like a person, but you can't tell, like, what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. I've heard plenty of little ones like that. We got to hear some EVPs that they had caught when we did the ghost tour. And you can actually, my favorite one was they're talking about how when they were in the underground, they used to have fans on because it was wet. It's a wet place, and it stank. And so they'd turn the fans on. And then, you know, there's no holes in the underground for, like, air. A lot of them are blocked off. And so they, when they did their EVP session, they would shut down all the electronics so there's no interference, and they'd shut the doors so that they don't get any outside noise or anything. And when they turned off the fans and shut the doors and then started recording, they actually caught a voice saying, "Turn that fan on." Like, with a real southern accent, and it was, they played it for us, it was so clear, it was actually really cool, but I'd be like, yeah, if I was a ghost and someone shut off my ghostly fans, I'd be like, turn those fans
off. If I was a southern ghost, my biggest, I mean, I feel like that can almost be somebody who said the same thing a lot in their life, especially if they lived in the South, because that's literally turn the fucking fan on, y'all.
Turn the fan on.
Well, because your AC does only so much, and right. A lot of people don't have ACs. They have, like, swamp coolers and shit, because AC is fucking expensive when it's 120 plus 100% humidity outside. It's not raining.
Yeah, we don't get that a lot up here. So, and the way you could tell from the voice that it was not someone born here, it was a very southern, like, you knew exactly what he said. Yeah, it was fun. I'm sure they have it on the website. I'll have to find the link for that, because they actually had a lot of really cool information, and my kids were so ready to, like, catch an EVP, and there was nothing. There was nothing. So many pictures of nothing, but anyway, that's all I got.
Yeah.
I got snow more. Someone needs to haunt me so I can have some.
Well, our Facebook page is Pinecones and Moonstones with an ampersand. On Instagram, we're at Pinecones Moonstones. On Twitter, it's Pinecones M-O-1. Because that's what it gave me. And on Patreon, it's patreon.com/pinecones moonstones. And if you would like to submit a listener story or an idea for an episode or whatever, you can message us on those platforms or email us at pinecones and moonstones@gmail.com.
Yeah, you did all the hard stuff, thanks. All right, well, until next time, where's the button? Don't be a dick, eat your vegetables, stay hydrated, and make some magic.
Yay! Woo! Bye! Bye.